Missionary Work at Home and Abroad, Norfolk Villa, Granville, New South Wales, July 24, 1895. Recopied September 10, 1896. God's field is the world. Jesus said to his disciples, "Ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost is come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and in Samaria and unto the uttermost part of the earth." And that repentance and remission of sins should be preached in his name among all nations, beginning at Jerusalem. Peter said to the believers, "The promise is unto you, and to your children, and to all that are afar off, even as many as the Lord our God shall call." And the Lord said, "I will sow her unto me in the earth, and I will have mercy upon her that had not obtained mercy. And I will say to them which were not my people, Thou art my people. And they shall say, Thou art my God." And he said, "It is a light thing that thou shouldest be my servant to raise up the tribes of Jacob and to restore the preserved of Israel. I will also give thee for a light to the Gentiles, that thou mayest be my salvation unto the end of the earth." God has poured out richly of his Holy Spirit upon the believers in Battle Creek. What use have you made of these blessings? Have you done as did the men upon whom the Holy Spirit came on the day of Pentecost? "Then they that were scattered abroad went everywhere preaching the word." Has this fruit been seen in Battle Creek? Have the church been taught of God to know their duty and to reflect the light which they have received? When the apostles which were at Jerusalem heard that Samaria had received the word of God, they sent unto them Peter and John. The Spirit of God was waiting to enlighten souls and convert them to the truth. Notice how much effort was put forth even for one man, an Ethiopian. The angel of the Lord spake unto Philip, saying, "Arise, and go toward the south unto the way that goeth down from Jerusalem unto Gaza, which is desert." And he arose and went, and, behold, a man of Ethiopia, an eunuch of great authority under Candace, queen of the Ethiopians, who had the charge of all her treasure, and had come to Jerusalem for to worship, was returning, and sitting in his chariot read Isaiah the prophet. Then the Spirit said unto Philip, "Go near, and join thyself to this chariot." And Philip ran thither to him, and heard him read the prophet Isaiah, and said, "Understandest thou what thou readest?" And he said, "How can I, except some man should guide me?" And he desired Philip that he would come up and sit with him. Then Philip opened his mouth and began at the same scripture and preached unto him Jesus. See Acts 8. In this account of Philip and the Ethiopian is presented the work which the Lord calls his people to do. This one man represents a large class of human beings that need missionaries like Philip, who will hear the voice of God and go where he shall send them. There is a class who are reading the scriptures and cannot understand their import. Those who have a knowledge of God are needed to explain his word to these souls. In the parable of the Good Samaritan, the priest and the Levite looked on the wretched man who had been robbed and wounded, but it did not seem to them desirable to help the one who most needed help because he was helpless and forsaken. The priest and Levite represent many, many in Battle Creek. The Lord has represented to me the fact that thousands of souls are longing for something better than they have. Many can be saved if the southern field can have simply a small part of the means expended so lavishly in Battle Creek to make things more convenient. The Lord's heritage has been strangely neglected, and God will judge his people for this thing. Pride and the love of display are gratified by the accumulated advantages, while new fields are left untouched. The rebuke of God is upon the managers for their partiality and selfish appropriation of His good. Something has been done in foreign missions, and something in home missions, but altogether too much territory has been left unworked. The work is too much centralized. The interests in Battle Creek are overgrown, and this means that other portions of the field are robbed of facilities which they should have had. The larger and still larger preparations in the erection and enlargement of buildings which have called together and held so large a number in Battle Creek are not in accordance with God's plan, but in direct contravention of His plan. It has been urged that there were great advantages in having so many institutions in close connection, that they would be a strength to one another and could afford help to those seeking education and employment. This is according to human reasoning. It will be admitted that from a human point of view, many advantages are gained by crowding so many responsibilities in Battle Creek. But the vision needs to be extended. These interests should be broken up into many parts, in order that the work may start in cities which it will be necessary to make centers of interest. Buildings should be erected, and responsibilities centered in many localities that are now robbed of vital, spiritual interest, in order to swell the overplus already in Battle Creek. The Lord is not glorified by this management on the part of those who are in responsible positions. The earth shall be filled with the knowledge of the glory of the Lord, as the waters cover the sea. And this is life eternal, that they might know thee, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom thou hast sent. The salvation of the heathen has long been deemed a matter that should engage the interest of Christians. And it is not more than justice to bring light to their dark borders. But home missionary work is just as much needed. The heathen are brought to our very doors. Idolatrous ignorance is in the very shadow of our homes. Something is being done for the colored people, but next to nothing compared with what others receive who have a knowledge of the truth, who have had opportunities innumerable, but who have not half appreciated their advantages. To those who know not the truth, let the love of Jesus be presented, and it will work like leaven for the transformation of the character. What are we doing for the southern field? I have looked most anxiously to see if some plan would not be set in operation to redeem the sinful neglect of that field. But I see not a proposition or a resolution to do anything. Perhaps something has been planned that I have not seen. I hope so, and praise the Lord if it is so. But though for years our duty has been laid out in a most decided manner, yet the southern field has been only touched with the tip ends of our fingers. I now feel deeply in earnest in again bringing before you this neglected portion of the Lord's vineyard. The matter is brought before me again and again. I have been awakened in the night season, and the command has come: write the things I have opened before you, whether men will hear or whether they will forbear. Mrs. E. G. White,